Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Corinne Wilson. First, a couple of announcements. Our website is forbiddenknowledge.news. It's also the home of the Forbidden Knowledge Network, where we feature some of your favorite podcasts. And you can always get every new episode of Forbidden Knowledge News on Rockfin, Rumble, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Our social media is on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And sign up on Rockfin, because that's where you get our premium content. You also get all the premium content from every creator on Rockfin. Just click the link in the description or go to rockfin.com/FKN+. Today, I want to welcome Corinne Wilson. She is a Master Mystery School graduate, experienced in many esoteric traditions, the psychic arts, Reiki, tarot, psychology, and much more. She began her work in service to others in 1992, assisting thousands of clients locally and worldwide as a psychic, psychopomp, and priestess. Her teachings, methods, and philosophy have evolved through years of study and practical application, representing many schools of religion, magic, mysticism, and esoteric thought. Corinne, welcome. How you doing?
Hey, Chris. It's great to meet you and be on Forbidden Knowledge. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming. This is going to be great. Been looking forward to this. We're going to discuss some of the esoteric and magical practices you yourself utilize and also get your insights into your understanding of the mechanisms behind things like ritual, spellcraft, and even interaction with unseen energy or intelligences. But before we do that, first, it's your first time on. Tell us a little bit more about your background and what led you down your path.
Excellent. Well, I heard about your show a while ago because you're a Rockfinner, right?
Yes, I am. Love Rockfin.
And I really enjoyed your interview with my friend, Freeman Fly. It was really awesome.
Yeah. Freeman's
that
great.
That was totally cool. So that's the first like full-length show I think I saw of yours, but I've seen a few of yours by now. And I do like your show and your style. And it's nice to know for the audience that he's a Virgo. So they're very good interviewers.
Oh, well, thank you so much. The paycheck is definitely in the mail on the way to you.
Oh, I hear you. So I entitled myself the Occult Priestess when I was looking for a title that would encompass everything I do, because people are easily confused when you do more than one thing, right? So when I grew up in a very difficult household, but I also had something that came through the family bloodline, they say, which is called sleep paralysis, which is basically a demonic attack that happens when you try to go to sleep at night. And that was like my, that was my metaphysical childhood. I was half in this world and half in the other world. And I was fighting a spiritual battle in both lands. So that only like made me go further into spirituality, into trying to find God and get closer to God in every way I possibly could, because I knew evil was real. Right. And there was a long time in my 20s where you could argue with me and I would say, no, evil is sickness. Evil just is a problem. It's something that we can heal. I still agree with that. Evil in general can be healed, but it takes a whole world to do it. Mm-hmm. So I've been a psychic for over 30 years. I am a soul counselor. I care about humanity with my whole life and my whole heart. But about 6 to 7 years ago, I was asked on a mission from God, like the Blues Brothers, to get into what we call the new media and start bringing the ancient wisdom to the new people.
Excellent. Well, like yourself, I have also had experiences with sleep paralysis, and I'd love to get your insights into this. I also do believe that there is something spiritual, something metaphysical going on here, and it's not just some kind of medical condition that occurs whenever we're in a certain sleep state. For my experiences, it was occurring whenever I was in a negative state of mind, whenever I was very depressed. I was actually going through a divorce at the time and things weren't so good for me. And I was able to break free of these experiences when I got myself into a better state of mind. For you, first of all, do you still experience this? And if not, how did you overcome this?
I do experience the paralysis and attack on occasion, but as I grew up and even into my early 40s, I made this movie, The Nightmare. Okay. And I told the director of the film, I was going to go let my boogeyman live in the film, which you can do that metaphysically. So I've never had that same shadow, which I believe is from my bloodline, from my family, a personal thing. The shadow man that attacks during sleep paralysis. Not everyone gets a shadow man, but I believe it's ancestors. Many shadow men will wear fedoras and trench coats and look like they're from the FBI in the 1940s, right? So the dark man, that film that was very much the silhouette of the shadow man. Mine didn't have a hat, but many nowadays, the fashion of darkness, they're starting to wear hats. And I think that that's like, we can recognize, oh, that was my uncle who worked for, you know, the FBI or the military. And so when you boil it down, yeah, they are, in a way, even the shadow is a costume. Everything is a costume when you think about it, when you're in a vibrational universe, if it's manifested into some kind of form, even if it's metaphysical form, not a physical one, but a beyond one, it's still a form. And all form to Buddhism, when you really get into it, you do your meditation, you understand all form is an illusion. And that's how I look beyond the illusion, the trick, like the Wizard of Oz, to find out the truth about things. And so I do believe that the shadow man is a type of, to put it in an old fashioned way, curse, right? On the family, somebody owed somebody something and somebody got cursed. So it's really that old story, but it's because people in your family agreed with the darkness. There's no real victims in that situation when you first get the haunt. But it haunts your children. And it's like Freddy Krueger in that way. It's very spooky and it changes your life. But it also makes you know the other side is real. And I recently saw a film called Scorchers. And they said, if you swam in it, like if you swam in this miracle lake that they described, if you swam in it, then you know it and nobody can tell you any different. I swam in sleep paralysis in the demonic realm of hell with all the dead people. And so nobody can tell me any different. And basically, okay, let's go on.
Oh, right on. Now, these entities that we perceive as shadow people, do you think that there are different types of entities that we're just kind of lumping into one category? Or is this something that is an overarching intelligence that is evil or demonic, or can they serve different purposes? I've heard people that do astral travel or have experiences in astral realms say that these things can be transmuted into positive energies depending on your perception of them. What do you think about that?
I think that's New Age bullshit. And we can watch Mark Passio for his New Age bullshit. So your brain doesn't change the outside world. And thoughts are not things. Greg Braden said that thoughts are things. And I'm like, well, think of a sandwich and then try to eat it. You know, I'm real practical when it comes to that kind of thing. So what exactly was the question there?
Are these entities, are they demons? Are they negative entities? Are they something else? Are they thought forms? Like you said, egregores. What is your understanding of what they are and what their interaction with us is for, with the purposes?
Well, many people will understand the concept of the Watchers, a very high-ranking angel that watches over the world and is basically a witness for God, right? At least that's the clear story of it. There's a lot of other stories mixed in with that. But it feels like a watcher, only it's actually taking your energy. You are in the type of sleep paralysis that I had, which was full blown. You're literally in another realm. You're in the realm of the dead, Hades, which is what we call it in Greek. So you're literally there. And this being has brought you there, has transported you there in a way of, by coming to you, has transported you to this realm. So it's like a form of nightly kidnapping. And you can actually see this in the film Clash of the Titans. Andromeda is taken at night to go to Hades to get a riddle. So that about her marriage, and that's a whole lore right there. But this is not unheard of, to be kidnapped in the sleep. And today it has become being kidnapped by UFOs. Very few people are seeing shadow people anymore. They have begun to fall for another costume, and that would be the UFOs. And I wonder if we're just brainwashed, right? If people tell you you've never seen the sun before, and they say, well, the sun is blue and it's pretty dim, that puts the thought in your mind and you're at an expectation. And then because we're creative beings and we project what we think onto people and things, then we might project blue upon the sun. So I just know I did, when I was very, very little, I had one dream of an alien and it was outside my school watching me. It was just like a little gray. But I understand from my education that the way aliens look came from Aleister Crowley and his character L-A-M, Lamb. I call it Silence of the Lambs.
Right on.
Because I believe this has all been socially engineered. Mm. And the Shadow Man is an original form. However, I mean, I don't know if you can get more primal than the Shadow Man. Even Carl Jung would not argue with me that the Shadow Man is extremely primal and ancient. And that's the force I was dealing with. And other people are dealing with forces that aren't as original. Therefore, they're not as scary. Not saying they're not scary. It's just not sleep paralysis scary.
So do you think that what we're understanding as extraterrestrials are this overarching intelligence that can appear as different things depending on what it wants us to perceive it as, that this is also a large deception that is behind ufology and the mainstream disclosure movement, that is also a large deception from the public, from possibly a high level source that may even interact with these things, right?
I totally agree with you. Everything you said, except for when you say extraterrestrial, I have to be careful with that one because it is metaphysical beyond, which means beyond. Meta means beyond, beyond the physical. So we understand that. But I don't believe in the grays, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is some sort of misinformation, misdirection. Well, what we understand as extraterrestrials are actually some sort of spiritual entities, right?
Misformed, just misdiagnosed, seen through a lens that is not a pure filter. But when you say ufology, I go back 100 years and I say demonology. It's the same thing. And you're so right about the UFO ruse, as I call it. When I was in LA for a few years, I was around David Wilcock and, you know, all the blue avian people, like really crazy new age stuff out there in LA. And I realized it was all fake. It was all for money. It was all a ruse. And it's really sad when you realize how many people are so entrenched. And if you meditate and you ask to see an alien and you're kind of good at it, you will see one. So it's like, that's what they don't understand, that form is fiction most of the time.
So why do you think we are being seeded this information gradually, especially even it's picked up in the past few years, more and more information is coming out, more and more what we understand is disclosure. But what do you think the underlying reasons that this is being seeded in the consciousness right now?
Now, you might know this one because I kind of forget the details, but the New World Order has a plan.
Of course.
And this happens and that happens. And then finally, aliens happen. Do you know what I'm talking about?
What Wernher von Braun warned as that would be the final card for this New World Order takeover that we're probably experiencing right now.
100%. As a psychic, I will tell check mark, this is happening. And if you've seen Childhood's End, the film, or read the book, that's what's going on, dude. And that alien was a big fat demon.
Right. Now, earlier, I want to get back to something you said, that thoughts are not things.
Greg Braden.
That our thought forms can create entities or manifest something in our reality is not true.
Now, when you say thought form, that is way beyond what most people are doing. Mm-hmm. Thought form, for example, is creating a creature like a fairy, which I've done, and I need it to do a very certain, some people call it a fetch, I guess, in the old days, a fetch. But you create this beautiful fairy of light and say, well, you know, I'd like flowers. Let's just make it simple. I would like flowers in the next week. And then you send that little fairy off to do that. And that's magic. It really is. Mm. So that thought being a thing, again, I wouldn't put it that way. It's so scientific and incorrect. But what they're trying to say in the New Age movement and in prosperity gospel is that you're God.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You control the universe. If you're not doing it right, it's your fault.
That leads me to what I want to get into. Is your understanding of the mechanisms of magic and how we utilize it through ritual and other aspects that we work with on a daily basis and don't even realize it? What is your understanding of what magic, what this energy is that we are interacting with?
Love. I mean, plain and simple, it's the vibration of love. It's the power of love. You know, it really is. It's love. If you're not, if your magic doesn't have love in it, then you're probably doing black magic. Mm-hmm. So it really, when we say for the good of all as Wiccans, we do not mean it in a fascist way. So we mean like when we do spells or rituals, it's supposed to be what we say for the good of all and for the harm of none. And a lot of, if I'm doing ritual or spell, I leave the outcome up to the gods. I don't say it needs to be this particular thing. I give them a wish list maybe, but you'll find that a lot of people use the gods as a wish list machine. They just put in their quarters in the form of prayers and they're asking for things. They don't actually have a relationship with God.
Now, I've heard through different practitioners that there is a large difference between interacting with different energies and asking for different outcomes from an external source versus using our own power source or our own energy. What do you think about that?
So you're an idiot compared to God.
Well,
it's pretty simple.
Seems legit. Yeah.
So many people get hubristic. In fact, they are attracted to magic because they have hubris.
Some would think that there is more of a dangerous aspect asking for this outside power or influence from these entities.
But from God, like, I'm not asking you to go to the, you know, the Book of Demons and the Book of Solomon and conjure up one of those things that Solomon did. That was a very bad example. Do not follow Solomon's example of raising demons. Okay. He cursed his bloodline. Not a good thing. So, yeah.
Do you think that there are powerful groups that are utilizing ritual magic to have outcomes on our reality right now? And whenever you try and mention this to people, whenever you try and bring this up, It turns off a lot of people. You can't get to a certain point in the conversation and they completely close off. It causes a lot of cognitive dissonance to think that they're powerful people, not even global leaders, probably people that we'll never know and never hear of, that have the most power and the most influence, and that the names that we'll never know, that are actually utilizing what we understand as magic and rituals to influence massive outcomes in our reality, right?
Oh, yeah. We call it low magic as well, because it's materialistic magic. Even if you are hypnotizing someone, if you're doing it for the benefit of yourself as a predator, then that is low magic. Okay, or black magic, but low magic is the term. And what are they doing, man? Like, eyes wide shut, right? Like, who didn't get the Kubrick memo? I got the Kubrick memo pretty early on. That the rich, the elites, the predator class, as Jason Burmis calls them, they put themselves under the divine right of kings, which is one of the most bloody, horrible, sinful things I've ever heard of in all of my lives. The divine right of kings gives them the God's right to do whatever they want to humanity. They're supposed to be, or at least how they used to put themselves off onto other people, was that they're philanthropists. They're here to help the world. God put them in this position so that they could take care of all the adult children because they're an adult God. And it's all hubris. It's complete narcissism. And when you grow up like that from a child, when your whole family is treating you like that, you're being trained, just like MKUltra, you're being trained how to be one of them. But I do believe it's good versus evil, dude. Totally, Chris. It is that war. And it's going on right now. And it's going to get more and more obvious for the muggles who haven't been able to see it yet. But it's always been going on.
Now, when you say that, what do you think the overall outcome that, what do you think is desired from these evil black sorcerers? What do you think they want to achieve in the end?
animal husbandry and complete dominion over not just humankind, but the earth herself. Even back in the 1700s, when they made gardens, it was to control nature. Let's quit going back. But I'm just saying, it was always about controlling nature, controlling the emotion, controlling the feminine aspect of the people. You might be a boy, but you have a girl inside your head. We're masculine and feminine. We're both. And they are all throughout history, that yin aspect, which is the quiet aspect, the meditative aspect, the feminine aspect of people, has been crushed to bring about this materialistic world that is based on ones and zeros and science and empirical evidence and absolutely nothing of the metaphysical. They want to be God, period. And in the end, that scenario of the new world order ends with one person on earth, one evil bastard, right? And we're all dead or somewhere else, right? So I understand that they want complete destruction. That's what they might not even understand themselves. But they want complete death on the planet.
The entities that these people serve, are these what you would consider demons? And if that is so, what does that make this reality that we're in right now? Is this reality for us, or is it a hijacked reality that these archonic entities have control over and keep us here somehow? Or is it really our realm for spiritual development, but this is part of it? The dualistic nature is part of our evolution. What do you think about that?
Demons and darkness are the fertilizer, the shit that grows our soul. So yeah, we have to have what I call fiction friction. That's what all of life really is doing to you, is giving you that fiction, that narrative, and it's causing friction on your soul, and then you grow if you're doing it right. So I do believe this is a school. Earth is a school for growing and evolving souls. And so this isn't the end. This is kind of the beginning of your existence as a full soul being.
Let's talk a little bit about your understanding of what's happening, the mechanisms behind, and the differences between ritual magic and things like spellcraft. What kind of manipulation is occurring on an unseen level when we're doing these things?
Okay, well, if you want to talk about ritual magic, we'll go ahead and call that high magic. It's not what I do, what I'm describing on my page. I mean, I can do high magic. I've studied it, but it's not my thing. It's Kabbalic. Is that a word? Kabbalic? It's from the Kabbalah, and it's Abrahamic, and I'm so not into it. And so what was the question?
Your understanding of what's the mechanisms behind.
Oh, okay. So ritual is simply what you try to do every day, right? So I might say my mala beads, you know, this is like the Christians took them. So you understand with the rosary. Well, that's what this is.
Okay.
Only much older. So that's a form of meditation. And I don't know. This question is really weird because it seems like I keep getting thrown off. So ask it one more time.
So what is your understanding? What is happening on an unseen level when we're interacting with this energy to manifest a certain outcome, either through rituals and spellcraft? And what is the difference between these things?
Okay, so spellcraft, you have a goal. You know what you want, mm-hmm. right? And then you go into circle or ritual, the circle. All right. So you put that protective circle up around yourself. And for me personally, I call in the gods because that's who I work with. I don't work with the dead or demons, but I call in the Most High. And what happens, I think that's what you're at, is that detail. The detail is that my consciousness and the consciousness of heaven make love. And at the end, there's a baby of creation. I mean, really, not to be like weird about it, but that's really, it's poetic. It really is. Other people are going in with that lusty desire of I'm going to get this thing and I'm going to get it how I want it. And they're dealing with the lower realm, the death realm, the darkness. And the darkness will answer you. If you call to the dark, it'll answer you too, either one. And that's the thing about this school. You can go to Slytherin, you know, you could go to the dark side, or you could be on the light side. And it's your choice. That's your free will. That's the magic and beauty of it. But so it's hard for me to describe what they're doing versus what I'm doing, because they're so very, very different. And so it's hard for me to put them both in my mind at the same time because they're opposite.
You said you work with gods. How do you know, and how can you be sure of the energy that you're working with and that you're not being deceived in any way, that there aren't any tricksters trying to mess with you or anything?
There's always going to be tricksters. Even good spirits joke with you because it's your ego is the problem. Your chip on your shoulder is the problem. And so they might even, you know, laugh at you to get you to laugh at yourself, to get you to break that tension that you have about being a human. But I've been working with my spirit guide now for over 20 years. And when I first got into being a psychic reading tarot, I never wanted to be possessed. I never wanted to be a channeling medium. I never wanted to deal with the dead. I was spooked out, man. I had sleep paralysis. I don't deal with any of that in real, you know, waking time. I dealt with it enough when I was asleep. And so I made sure I did lots and lots of protection when I first started my journey on to Wicca, to paganism. All of my first spells were about protection and just celebrating the seasons. I didn't go in this with a lusty mind full of need of result, right? I was like, this is my life and I want to figure it out. I want to figure out what this is all about. And so what I just grew into it, dude. So I tested my spirit guide several times, and there's books to tell you how to do that, to test your guides, test the gods. And the only way you're going to know is if you walk the path. And the only way you're going to walk the path is if you're fully committed. And so you have to walk blind, fully committed, with your hands tied, basically, blindfolded into the abyss. And there's no way to get out of that. If you're not willing to do that, you'll never get anywhere near where I am.
Hmm. Now, the gods that you work with, what is your understanding of, first of all, what gods are you working with, and what is your understanding of what these gods are? Are they just archetypal energies? What is your understanding of what the gods are?
When I first read Carl Jung as a teenager, he intimated that the gods are thought forms, that we made them and they didn't make us. I'm like, "Wah." And so I had to think about it for a year. And I did. And I kept asking God for about a year, bugging him, "Hey, man, what's up? Tell me about this." And I came to some very deep insights. They are in my journal. I've been keeping a journal since I was 14 years old. And I just turned 49 with Alex Jones. So the deeper insight about God being real was so intense for me. The easier one was if the chaos theory, if you throw a bunch of car parts in a box, there's no way that's ever going to assemble itself into a car. And that's like the argument for the divine presence, right? That everything has a synchronicity to it, right? That beauty has been created in this world through a higher being. I don't know why that's so hard for people to get. We all have parents. It's nature. Honestly, when you think about it, that's why I say God and goddess, even though I know there is a supreme being that is beyond form and beyond masculine and feminine. But for me, little person self, that's how I identify. So I think that really in the end, it probably hit me. That was just a practical knowledge. You just, duh.
Do you think most of us are blocked off to perceiving a lot of these things and feeling a lot of the energy that surrounds us because of of what we've been subjected to our entire lives through food, water, programming, trauma, all these things are preventing us from accessing our full potential, right?
It's the trauma. It actually freezes us, like frozen, hard, and you can't feel. You're numb and you're freaked out. And when you get a little bit unnumb, then it starts to hurt. And then you start expressing that hurt. And then that either is going to work in your life because you have supportive, loving people, or it's going to make your life fall apart. Mm-hmm. It's when you start to feel. So I think a lot of people intensely are afraid to feel. And more than that, if you can't feel, you'll never be anywhere near that abyss where you jump off into, you know, the unknown. So these are the like first stages are healing the childhood, healing the family. And I don't mean that by healing other family members, your mind and what the family did to it, healing that. These are the very first priorities when it comes to magic, because you don't want to go into a magical circle, a broken person. You want to already have that commitment that you are working on yourself to make yourself better. You can go in broken as long as you're still working. You know what I mean?
That's so interesting. And I've told this story before, but
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Whenever I made contact with it, what I understand is my spirit guides through meditation and eventually plant medicines, this was the first thing I was persuaded and urged to do, is heal childhood traumas and fix all these things inside that were holding me back. And I listened to them, and I proceeded to do what I was suggested to do by my spirit guides, and it turned out wonderfully for me.
See?
I am where I am now. So I think this is an incredible aspect, and it's happened to many others that I've spoken with. Once they get past a certain barrier and are able to make what is understood as contact with these spirit guides and our ancestors, as long as you have faith and follow their guidance, it's yes. going to work out for the best for you, usually.
Yeah, it is faith. And working out is kind of an ending thought, like, oh, it's done. It's worked out. Yeah. Well, it never actually works out till you're dead. So I'm saying don't lose faith. Because you could be down in the mouth for 20 years, you know, and it's all your lesson. And that's how I see it. When things are crappy, I know I'm learning. So at least, you know, there's that.
Now, belief is everything with all of this, right? If you don't have any belief in this, if you're closed off and closed-minded, none of this will ever work for you, right?
I would agree with that, because you have to face the guardians at the gate. When you went to go heal your childhood wounds, metaphorically, there were guardians at the gate keeping you out and threatening your life. You know, hero, do not go past this point. We will kill you. And that is what intimidates people, even about their childhood. Just going in, just opening the door freaks them out. So, I mean, I don't even know where to start with that, right?
Do you think that
that's why it's a calling. It's a freaking calling. Not everybody is going to get this calling, right?
Well, along the same lines, is that why you think we see certain people that are waking up and realizing some of the underlying corruption and things that are happening and going on a more spiritual path in more recent times? And it seems like more people than ever are having this spark recently.
Yeah, I'm very, very pleased with that. People thought this stuff would happen around 2012. Mm. Nope. Got to lock people in their houses for 3 years. Then maybe it'll happen. But yeah, I totally believe that. I also believe some really wild, whacked out things, that our souls will actually become golden from lead to gold, in that that could happen in this lifetime. And we could be a different kind of amazing, beautiful creation of God, something evolved, you know, through that pain and suffering of samsara. Buddha calls this world the world of suffering, samsara. And he's like, dude, you're going to suffer. If you're suffering, you're alive.
Right.
And all that's true.
Yeah, I personally don't think that there's going to be any savior character or any groups that is going to lead us to the promised land or get us out of this mess that we're in right now.
We are the ones.
Right. But there are some that believe that we have to wait on this
savior
character. Yeah, this Messiah. And I think this has been put out into the consciousness through Abrahamic religions and spiritual practices like this.
But Jesus
keep us.
Yeah,
to keep us from actually achieving where we're supposed to go, right?
Yeah, Jesus doesn't agree with his publicity. I'll let you know that. He's very determined to say, follow me, not my followers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even the apostles, like, they were fans of Jesus. They didn't become like Jesus, which is what Jesus wanted. So I definitely say become like, don't, you know, just say the gospel, but you have to become like Jesus, be Jesus. And what Jesus went, I don't know how much you're up on your Bible, but Jesus actually went to hell. I've been told this story that Jesus went to hell. And so if you're going to be like Jesus, you've got to go into that abyss too. So no one is going to love you enough to get you to go into that abyss and take care of yourself. It is only you who can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems that there's been a quickening of events lately to try and push us into this dystopian realm at a faster pace. And because of that, I think there's been a lot of mistakes made, and I don't think they're achieving the outcome that they desired because of people, so many people waking up to this, and because I think they're moving too fast and people aren't ready and may never be ready for some of the ideologies that they're trying to push on us right now.
My God, right? The ideologies are pushing on us with the. So I believe that the transgender stuff is leading to transhumanism. Mm. You know, I did get that from Jason Burmis. But what they're also doing is revealing themselves. The wolf has to take off the sheep's clothing to reveal itself before it eats you. So I understand they're not just sloppy. They're lusting for blood. They got so high off that power of lockdowns. Like, can you imagine a satanic high that feels like black leather? I mean, they were just in their heaven. Their joy was doing that to us. And they're still in joy about it. And I think that they're only going to get more and more drunk off their own power, and they're not going to care. Like, they're not even going to see the regular person anymore. They're going to be completely trapped in their own illusion. And so finally we kill them. Ha! I don't know if we kill them, but something happens, right? Finally they're gone.
Yeah.
But I believe that's an evolution point. I believe that this is something that has to go on for a while, that we're going to see them revealing themselves. And then when 90% of the people get it, there's still 10% who don't. So they're going to get that much worse because I believe that God wants every eye to see, every eye, no matter how stupid, no matter how dark you might be. He wants to prove it to everyone that we are here. You are either good or you are evil. And if you are evil, eventually you will be deleted from the cosmos, which is never having existed, but that's another topic.
Yesterday, I had a guest and I was discussing some of the nefarious aspects of technology that's being rolled out. And I think that there's even a lot of occult and esoteric aspects inside of the what we're interacting with within technology, and that this is the power that we've given it collectively. We're almost worshiping it. We're almost creating a
false light.
Yeah, a new god out of this technology. Like I said yesterday, I had a guest that was talking about how she believes that there is a form of nefarious consciousness within things like AI chatbots that we're interacting with.
Yeah.
And we're giving this technology so much energy on a daily basis. We have cell phones in our pockets at all time. We are literally worshiping this in many aspects. What do you think the outcome of us giving this so much power could be?
So I've had a thought that AI is the shadow being, like the shadow self of Earth herself. So the evil, if you will, goes into comic books, the evil side of Earth. Because it came through technology, it came through science, which came through black magic. All science and tech came through black magic. Learn that today. Know that today, kids. It's the truth. These are the old priests of the temple, the baddies that hurt the kids. I mean, this is all that stuff. This, if you can see evil as one thing, so AI is a part of that evil presence. But who created it? Evil people. So, you know, what input, output. That's how that works.
Well, that also connects with the transhuman agenda. They are trying to get us to merge parts of our biology with technology, as well as this new alchemical transformation into this new human that they want to create.
That's the mirror side, the bad side. What I'm saying is that we're going to involve, I don't know, maybe we will be transgender beings. Who gives a crap if we're golden? I mean, if we're like what God meant us to be, walking angels on the earth because all of the evil is gone, you know, kind of think about that for a minute.
I mean, I know it's ultimately up to us to choose what path we're going to take in this transition that we're headed towards. And hopefully there's enough people waking up that can skew whatever timeline we're headed on. Do you think that that's a thing? Predetermined timelines that?
No, not at all. Not even a little bit. No. Because people say they even go to different timelines within the present. Time is freaking fake. And any mystic, anyone who knows anything about the occult truly understands time is of Saturn. It is of Chronos, which is time in the Greek, and it is merely restriction of Earth. It's the box. We are in the box of time, and that's how we grow the soul, because without time and restriction, you can't grow a soul. That's why we come to Earth, and we can't do it in heaven, you see?
While we're in talking a little bit about the cosmology, what do you think the true cosmology that we're in? Do you go off of the space narrative that NASA gives us about the traditional model of space in the solar system? Or is this something more that we don't understand? Is this more of a realm with multi-layers? Or are we on a flat pancake? What do you think about that?
Okay, so first off, Nazi NASA, right? Operation Paperclip. So I don't believe shit from NASA, but they have the best artists. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So in the old books, and something I heard in the astral once, is that the space is an ocean, right? So that's a metaphor, but it could be also partially physically true. How would we know? I don't know. I am related to Senator John Glenn, who has passed. He was an astronaut. And through my psychic family connection, I know we didn't go to the moon. So I already know that. I wonder if he had sleep paralysis, which I think would be very interesting. But that's a bloodline thing too, that I can know because I'm related to an astronaut, that we did not go to the moon. And so I don't believe in flat Earth, because the ancient Hermetic texts will show you spheres. So if it's, you know, thousands of years old and people knew it then, I trust that more than what people think they know today, because it seems like the further you go back in the past, the more intelligent the humans were.
Now, let's get into some of the things that you work with and even offer people. Tell us a little bit about things like shamanic soul counseling. What is this?
All right. So again, remember that childhood stuff you had to go through? Well, some people have some really, really big issues with their childhoods, like way above average, right? And that's when I take them into a meditative state. I'm with them in the meditative state. And even if they're not used to meditating or anything, somehow I have some kind of magic and it brings them through. As long as they got their third eye open, as long as they can see something in their mind, then I can work with them. So I take them to that threshold that you went to, the guardians at the gate, and I pay the guardians because I know the guardians. And so we get right past them. They don't have to deal with that. And we go straight into the soul. So I'm there with them basically in an astral room and we dig. And through the digging, their subconscious comes out, their childhood comes out. And I also ask the gods to be with us. And usually we will meet their spirit guide in that space so that after that day, they're no longer alone in that space when they go to work on it themselves through meditation.
Oh. Now, do you do any work with spirit attachments, removals?
I haven't done that in a long time, actually. Can I? Yeah, sure. But I guess that doesn't seem to be as much of an issue because mostly I'm working with people who really want the knowledge. They really want sincerely to grow and they're not just now coming into it with a demonic attachment, like all of a sudden, but I'll take those clients, believe me. What we do with that is we have to find out the history of the demonic attachment, which means I have to talk to it and understand it. And then I merge with it and then I blow it up.
Yeah, these attachments, are they always demonic or can they be what was once human spirits or something, other types of energetic attachments, or it's all just demonic?
Aunt Flo can attach to you. Okay. Uncle Joe can attach to you and we can still call it an attachment because specifically, that's what it is. It doesn't mean they're eating you or taking your light, but most of the time they are trying to control your life. Okay. Ghosts try to control living people's lives because most ghosts know they're going to reincarnate sometimes in the same family. So they try to get it all nice before they reincarnate again in that family. But usually it's driven by money and materialism, and that's how the wrong people get married because the ancestors are pushing the wrong people to get married so that there could be more wealth in the family.
Interesting. Now, something else you work with is ascension, and I know that there's many different misunderstandings and understandings of what ascension is, especially in this community. What are you working with?
Well, I love there's a meme with a bunch of blow up dolls, sex dolls up in the air going up. And they said, let's do this so we can fool all the rapture people and tell them it's rapture.
That's
right. So to me, ascension is spiritual. It's metaphysical. It might not even show on your face that you've done it, but it is to go to a very high realm and to understand yourself on a vibrational level that is closest to God, the closest you can handle, and to know that you yourself are a divine being, and to truly know it, balls to bone, as they say in the Matrix, that you are a divine being, you are a child of God, but one day you're going to be that big, you know, and God just keeps getting bigger. So you don't have to worry about that. God will always be bigger than you. So you've always got somebody that's got your back. As you evolve into different creatures through this universe, God is so creative. I think that's what people don't understand because they're not creative. So they don't understand how the story keeps going and going and going.
Right on. Now, we have so many physical aspects of ourselves that are directly connected to the metaphysical and our spiritual state of being. And you work with Kundalini, and this is another thing that a lot of people don't really have an understanding of or misunderstand.
Well, nor should they. It's really...
Well, tell us about it. Tell us your understanding of what this is and how you work with it.
Okay, Kundalini energy is the energy of the universe. It's also called Shakti Shiva energy. It is a metaphysical force that it's a metaphysical force. And so the rote explanation is you have an egg, a serpent around an egg, at the base of your spine. As a metaphor, you have a serpent around an egg at the base of your spine. When you start awakening, kind of like what Jesus did at age 30, that snake makes its way up your spine and through your chakra system and turns on your chakras. And when it gets to your crown chakra, when it gets to your crown chakra, your halo, that's when you meet God, basically. So that's just the book meaning of it. But for me personally, it was an invitation into a complete other realm that most living people cannot visit because they are alive, very simply because they are alive. But I have been to the heaven realms and beyond Muggle Earth heaven realms and seen more of the story, I guess, is what I would tell you. I've seen more of the story because of my Kundalini energy. It was the lightning rod that I rode to heaven and beyond. And I did not awaken my Kundalini on purpose. It was a spontaneous awakening at age 30. That's why I brought up Jesus, because he did it at age 30 as well. And it's not something I think people can invoke. It is a very sacred and ancient and mystic. It's so mystical that unless you've been studying this stuff for years and years, you wouldn't even begin to understand the first thing. And I don't mean to make it unattainable, because it's not. I mean, who am I? I've attained it. So it doesn't mean we can't all become our own form of enlightened. I'm not trying to say I am the Buddha, but my goal is to be a Buddha, an anointed, enlightened one. And I want everyone else to be enlightened too.
Could you tell us a little bit about what occurred during your experience? And you said you've experienced these realms. Was this through the direct Kundalini experience and or through other astral experiences?
Kundalini works with the astral and on the astral. It's very hard to stay in your body, period, when you've got Kundalini, because my consciousness was transported to higher levels of awareness. So my lower levels of awareness were retarded. Okay. There were times I didn't know my address. I did not know my name. My ego was blown. It was totally gone. I became childlike, innocent, and in awe at the universe.
What would be some of the things that might trigger this? Like, maybe you could give us yours. What triggered this for you? How did the experience come on?
Mine was timed. Mine was from birth. It was set, like, astrologically, it was timed. So it was planned. It was part of my karma to do this.
But it is possible for people to unlock this themselves.
Not unlock. You are either meant to have it or not, I think. Okay. You know, like, you can unlock reading the tarot cards. I can teach people to read tarot cards, but there's no key to give someone for this. This is God's permission or not.
Interesting.
But I want you to know that when you do psychedelics, you're writing partially the Kundalini.
That is very interesting. Now, I'm glad you mentioned psychedelics, because I have used psychedelics a lot, and I've had, after my primary meditative experience where I made contact with my spirit guides, I was told that through my spirit guides that it would be able to facilitate much easier communication with them. And I've had very profound experiences, but the one that stands out for me, and it relates to what we're talking about with spirit attachments. And I tell this story often, so I'm not going to tell the whole thing, but there was one experience where I had with an ex-girlfriend of mine, who actually, she is a psychic medium, and she has helped done regressions for people before. And we were doing a regression during a psychedelic experience. And
whoa, who does that?
Yeah, well, it worked. Wow. It worked a little too well.
It worked.
Because at the end of the experience, when we actually achieved regressing me back to that state and going through the trauma and reliving it and releasing the trauma, it also released a spirit attachment that was attached to it, and it took over my perception.
Really?
And it manifested as the form of my girlfriend shape-shifting into a reptilian. and chasing me around the house. And it wasn't until she called upon her archangels and I started praying to God that I actually puked up black stuff. And all this stuff just disappeared. And like, I wasn't even on the effect of psychedelics anymore. And I just felt amazing. I felt like angelic presences near me as this was occurring. So this was a very profound experience as well. And I just want to get your understanding of if these spirit attachments can normally take over your perception like that in any way and manifest to you.
Oh yeah, they sure can. Especially when you hit that bulkhead, boom, and then it all exploded. Mm. Oh my God. And then you blew black goo came out of your mouth. Oh my God. It's the freakiest story ever. I love that story. And I'm sorry, I didn't get the whole version.
Oh, I'll tell you, I'll give you a link to the full version.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to maybe have you on my show and then we can talk about that.
Definitely.
So intense and beautiful because that's how it works. That's how it happens. And that you felt the angelic presence, but that you were scared and you were running from the reptilian girlfriend. That is typical, totally typical because we project.
it was incredible.
Your perception. You know what? This is how some murders happen. People murder their spouse and that kind of thing. It's because they're tripping like this, right? Mm-hmm. But you were in a ritual space. You understood what you were there for, what your intentions were, and they all helped you. And that day it all worked out. And thank goodness. Yeah. And that's the thing. When we have these emotional attachments, bring psychic attachments, bring bad detachments. So when your non-attachment is a Buddhist concept, and I hope everybody looks that up, of non-attachment, and that would get, you know, if you learn non-attachment, then you will no longer be attached to anything that could attach to you.
Excellent. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about protection, psychic protection. Now I was discussing with someone the other day about energy vampires and
Gavin Newsom
and what is actually occurring with these people and the process of how they're manifesting how they're siphoning your energy and what you have to look out for and how you can protect against it. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Okay. So their weapon is their eyes. And it's called magnetism. So we can go back to Franz Anton Mesmer with his animal magnetism. If somebody wants to study this because they're defending against the dark arts, then you want to learn about magnetism and hypnotism. Because what they do, it's like a snake. A snake hypnotizes its prey. And then it bites, but these bites like a vampire, right? You see the snake vampire references? Very similar. Well, that's what's happening. But you're not, you know, physically, some of them bite physically, but I didn't think that's for show. But they are sticking their psychic fangs into you. And through magnetism, which is a form of, you do it in your mind. You don't do any of this in your heart. Your groin has a lot to do with it. Your lower chakras, use your lower chakras. And then you get in this icky space. And then it's a need. And I don't know how they get this need. Well, I guess because it's the truth. They need love and they can't get it. So there's a deep and ravenous need within them for them to be able to do that. It really means that they're really horrible people on the inside, but you can't necessarily see it on the outside. They don't project it because they don't even know themselves how dark they are usually.
But can this be harnessed? Say they do know and they enjoy it. They enjoy siphoning the energy. Can this be something that can be developed into something more nefarious?
Yeah, I think they would join the Golden Dawn or the OTO or the Masons or the FBI or CIA. You know, these are there's great jobs for these kinds of people.
Yeah, that's not good. Well, let's talk about a couple of more things that you work with people before we head out. One of those things is aura readings. Tell us a little bit about aura readings.
I'm trying to look at yours right now. You've got spotted green over the left side. This is good. Green coming in over the left, which means receiving. And green is fertility, which is probably money in your case. So, and there's a bit of yellow.
That would be nice.
There's a bit of yellow because you do think overthink, right? You think a lot. There's a head voices all the time. That's the yellow. And it means that you're a little bit, you know, high strung in that sense that your mind is always working. So we always say meditate because that does eventually get rid of that monkey mind, as we call it.
Okay. Right on.
So what was the question?
Aura readings.
I just did it.
Yeah. Just tell us a little bit more about it and, you know, what you offer for people.
Excellent. Most of the time I do these in person, but as you can see, I can see here online because mostly my spirit guide will tell me and then I'll see the color. So when it's this way, but when I have you in person, I have you against a black wall and I do your whole body. So it can tell us health issues, which is one of the big things it does. Where I usually read on is that intellectual level. You just saw like what's coming in and what's going out, you know, kind of thing, because coming in is the left and going out is the right. And so once you've learned kind of that, your pattern, like if there's something here, what does that mean? You know, you learn your grid and then you learn your colors. How do you learn to see the aura? Well, actually, I think I cultivated all of these powers, in a past life. So I came in knowing this, but I got the book, How to See the Aura by Ted Andrews from Llewellyn Books. And it's a tiny little book. And by the time I was done reading it, boom, I could see auras. But it was just a reminder. You understand?
What all can you see and tell about a person through their aura? You gave a couple of examples with me, but what else can you see?
Definitely physical problems, like health issues is a big thing. Sometimes ancestors are in the aura, like an attachment. Definitely see attachments. We see black shadows, which are not fully evolved attachments yet, but they're on their way there. We could say attachment. We could say that's like cancer, right? Because it's eating you. And so we can even see when there's just a patch or a shadow that would eventually become cancer if we don't take care of it. What else? Blockages, right? And those blockages can just be simple emotional things, you know, like you don't like getting on airplanes or something, simple phobias that we can also work with.
Right on. Excellent. Well, Corinne, this is fantastic. Before you head out, let the audience know some of the other things that you offer and how they can possibly get in touch with you and utilize you.
Thank you so much, Chris. So Forbidden Knowledge News, you guys, come on by Rockfin and check it out.
Definitely.
I want to check out
Occult Priestess on Rockfin for sure.
Yeah, Saturday nights at 7 o'clock. Always got something going on with the community live streaming with chat.
Sweet.
So I just wanted to say I was a little scattered today. I'm normally never scattered. So, but I got up this morning. I was crying a little bit because my aunt seems to be passing.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Had a couple of strokes. Yeah. So that's why I wasn't completely on my A game today. So just, you know, send me love, guys. That's all I need is just some love. Definitely. I just want to thank you so much for having me on your show. I am Occult Priestess at occultpriestess.com. And you can find me on Rockfin at Occult Priestess on Twitter. And also I do have a YouTube channel, but it's censored and shadow banned, but that's also Occult Priestess. If you look me up, Occult Priestess, you may find a costume. I think I've become a Leg Avenue or California costume. Unfortunately,
nice.
They stole my name. They totally stole. I made this name up.
Yeah, they could at least thrown you something for that one.
Yeah, I've moved out to LA and they took everything.
All right. Well, excellent, Corinne. Thank you so much. This was fantastic. Let's do this again sometime in the future for sure.
Yeah, I want to have you over to my house too.
Hey, just name a date and I'll make something work. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We will talk again tomorrow. We'll see y'all then.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew.
Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.